prayer, and then we'll sing songs. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength, and this little bit of time you've set aside, and I pray it to be one of our number. Bless our time in your presence, and Lord, indeed, any time, Lord, our brethren are meeting together in your house, or even, Lord, just wherever two or three are gathered together, in your name, that you would bless and keep and minister to. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, and for saving us. Thank you for the good sense to confess our sins to you, Lord, and trust you as our Savior. Please bless this time, Lord, and I pray this service would be acceptable to you tonight. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. We are going to go for number two in the big hymn book. Number two, I haven't sung this one for a while. That is Glory to His Name. Number two in the big hymn book. Oh. apologies. You fit to read, Norman? Oh, I had that wrong.
Tonight's reading is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, and that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you those things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, that they receive not the love of the truth, and they might be free. And for this cause God shall send them unto delusion, and they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation from sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen.
Excellent verses there, well worth paying a little bit of attention to, especially when it comes to the rapture and the way people behave on the run up to the coming of the Lord. It says, except there come a falling away first. Sadly, that is where we are in these days. Just want to remind everybody about the little pink prayer list. Make sure you have one. Does anybody have anything we need to add to that prayer list? Nope. Don't pray for those that aren't here. For whatever the reason, the Lord knows. Please do continue to pray for Ed Bissett. He is contending with bile cancer. And Monica's sister, Cindy Catalano, who is contending with breast cancer at this particular time. Private prayer requests, anybody? Oopie-doop. Okay. Anybody got anything that they want to thank the Lord for, or we're all glad to be here. Works for me.
No damage to the house.
So far, yes, indeed. No damage.
With all that wind, that's really rough.
For me. I'm glad to hear that. I got a message, as you know, my brother does a lot of other work for the newsletter, and he sent us a request if we see any signs of damage to let him know. And before I even got to the end of this road, someone had a fence down. There was a field flooded where the horses are, and the golf course had a tree down. And that was before I got to the end of the Maboy Road. So I'm glad you didn't have any damage. I have two slates to fix on my roof, and I have a few bits and pieces thrown around the yard, but otherwise I am good. So, amen. All right, let's have a quick word of prayer. If there's nothing else that anybody needs prayer about, that's okay. Let's pray, and then we will sing another song or two. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and for watching over us and for saving us. Lord, you know we've got a lot in our hearts and minds this night, and many nights, Lord. And you've said in your word that we're not to be careful for anything but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And Lord, just want to, in prayer, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you, Lord, and tell folks about the great things you've done for all of us and keeping us from harm. But Lord, there's supplication there as well. And I beg you, please, Lord, for those that are sick to be restored. For those that are contending with spiritual wickedness in high places, Lord, for the victor. And Lord, for those that have strayed off the path, I pray for a return. There's so much going on, Father. I pray you too, Lord, and beg you for the victory, continual victories of Israel. And Lord, that you would continually bless those that love you, and bless Israel. And you would curse those, Lord, continually that hate you and curse Israel. And whether they be in a street corner or in a church, I pray that those conditions, Lord, that those apply to everybody. Please, Lord, give people good sense. Help them to see the truth. The real truth, Lord, to understand the Word of God and to speak to their soul. Lord, please be with our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, the folks in Temple Patrick and Cloudy Water Baptist, for Grace Bible, Lord, for Black Creek, for Stan and the folks up in Binder, Lord, for Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, this day too, for Johnny Temple. I just pray you, please, Father, that wherever people are prepared to stand up and preach the full counsel of your word, I pray that you bless them, those who speak and those that hear. Most importantly, Lord, for your word not to return void and for it to accomplish what you need for the others. We really do need you, Lord. Please don't be done with us, Father. I thank you for all the bad weather, that no one we know has been hurt, that damage has been light. And I pray you, Lord, that these storms that we're seeing just the tail end of, that would continue. We really do need you. We pray your good hand upon us this evening. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for your word. And Lord, just for being there. We leave these things at your feet, Father. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. All right. Let's sing another song. Somebody has another favourite. Mrs. Bradfield.
24 in the big book.
24 in the big book. 24. And can it be that I should be in? Alright, let's give that a shot. We haven't sung that for a wee bit. And can it be that I should be in? We'll remain seated as we sing.
I'm
open our Bibles. Lynn, did you get one this evening? Are you interested in one?
117.
117. 107.
Yes.
107. Safe in the arms of Jesus. That's a good one. We'll stand and sing 117. Safe in the arms of Jesus. We're in Isaiah chapter 59. There's 21 verses in this chapter of God's Word. We're going to read them all this evening. And I'd like to spend a minute or two on the subject of why. Why? I was thinking of this. I don't know if you've ever come across a little child that looks up at you whenever you give them a command or instruction, they say, why? Or whenever you have to spank their behinds, they say, why? But a few minutes, I hope, on the subject of why this evening. And I hope this is a help to you. It's certainly been a help to me, whether it's for you personally, for the people that you know, or just a help in the way things are going on in the world. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like birds, or like bears, sorry, and mourn sore like dogs. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, for there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. Amen. We are taking this whole portion of God's word for our text. Well, actually, we're taking a few verses, verse 1 and verse 9. There's a whole bunch of verses in there, but Question is why? So let's have a quick prayer and then we will find out the reason why. Heavenly Father, we pray your hand upon us this little bit of time you've set aside. Guide my lips and to put the pieces together in all of our hearts. Help us to see and to hear and to understand, to learn something and to grow a wee bit as we spend this time in your word. We just love you and thank you and pray, you, Lord, for better understanding and more wisdom. Please help us, Lord. Amen. 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 This portion of God's word, with just about another 6 or 7 chapters to go before you hit the end of Isaiah, is, first of all, a commentary upon the state of the children of Israel and the reasons why things were going so badly for them. But also, it is a commentary on the world. I am sure as you look at those verses, you can see one of the reasons why the world is in the state that it is in right now, because people have departed from the Lord. The Lord was saying to Isaiah, and said for Isaiah to write down, this is why things aren't going well for you. He said, all of the things, all of your sins, all of your iniquities have come between you and God. You have separated yourself from God. God's Bible said his hand is not short that it cannot save. In other words, God can save you anywhere. And his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, and God can hear you anywhere. And we're not talking about vengeance and things like that and helplessness, but we're talking about people's personal walk with God. And things are not going well for the children of Israel at this time. Now, I know, and the Lord said, if anyone recalls the 18 people killed in the Tower of Siloam fell upon them in Jerusalem in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes things happen. But if you're away doing the things that the Lord called you to do, they won't happen to you in the same way. These things are, it's not the Lord's fault that people don't get saved. In the Old and the New Testament, the Bible says that he will save anybody, anywhere that comes to him. In fact, he says, I am the Lord and there's none beside me. Take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. We had Ruth the Moabitess who accepted God and expected. And the thing about it is, Moabites were forbidden to be part of the children of Israel. But Ruth the Moabitess accepted God. Rahab the harlot accepted God, and her whole city was slated for death. And on, Naaman the leper, one of the generals of the Syrian nation that had conquered God's people, again for their sin, he was the only leper healed in the day. Anybody that comes to God, he'll save. And he'll save forever. And it's great to know that. But there's a little matter of our lives between here and forever. And I don't know about you, but I read about my God doing stuff in this world and acting in people's lives and coincidences. You know, a coincidence happens once. After that, it's miracles time after time. But the reason why so many people are not able to get in touch with God and have their prayers heard and answered is because of sin. I'm not picking on Bethel. I'm talking about Christians in general. There is a reason why the world is in the state it's in. I think from our reading this evening, it's because so many so-called saved people and Christians love sin. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. There'll be a great falling away before the evil one comes back. And this puts a barrier. And God gave to Isaiah the reason why. And he basically said, you're rotten. Your hands are defiled with blood. You lie, you cheat, you steal. You make plans to bring the downfall of people. Literally, nothing else goes through your minds except doing badness. And if that's, and he's talking to his people. But if that sounds like today, in a book that was written about 3,000 years ago, and literally it's human nature. And then people wonder, Why is the world the way it is? Where's the justice? Where's the judgment? And I am sure we all have personal experiences that have us asking the same questions. And we look for it and it's nowhere to be found. And you need to bear in mind, our actions affect the people around us, but the people around us' actions can affect us too. It wasn't my plan to have abortion introduced to Northern Ireland. It was that nut job and the pretend to run the country, Rishi Sunak and his predecessors, the prime ministers of the UK. They forced this nation to become a nation of murderers. His actions affect me. Now, it goes on to say, and you're looking down at verses 9, 10, and 11, the state of people groping around, looking for something that's going to work, looking for something that's going to bring comfort. In verse 11, it talks about we roar all like bears. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sinners sometimes, they love their sins so much, they don't want to hear about anything else. And they do roar. And they make so much noise that sensible things can't be heard. And then, you have the victims. Oh, I'm hard done by, you should fix me up, and I need everything. We mourn sore like dogs. And we're still looking for somebody to come along and say and do the right thing. Verse 11 says there is none. And then people say, whenever someone gets mown down by a drunk driver, why didn't God stop him? God did try and stop him. God did try and save their lives. The Bible is there that says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. It warns us many times about strong drink and alcohol. There's only one place in the Bible that says it's okay for you to drink. And that's when you're about to die. In other words, in great pain. And people say, well, why didn't God stop them? Well, God was trying to stop them and see if you hadn't been out walking around the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe you wouldn't have been knifed, maybe you wouldn't have been shot, maybe you wouldn't have been run over by a drunk driver. God gives us all free will. And all that our free will exercised without godly authority does, it doesn't make us sinners, it just shows us to be sinners. It's awful. It literally is awful. But as we read on here into verse number 16, the Bible says Jesus is coming back. I don't know, does anyone remember the gospel armor of the Lord? I think it's in, is it in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6? I want you to bear this in mind as we read about this picture of Jesus in verse 17. He, our intercessor, our judge, our savior, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and that's mentioned in the gospel armor. A helmet of salvation, also mentioned in the gospel armor. He put on the garment of vengeance. There's no vengeance mentioned for us. And there's no cloak of zeal for us either. There is no mention of his loins being girt about with the truth, or his feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is no mention of the shield of salvation or the sword of the Spirit being the word of God. God is not coming to make peace. He is not coming to save souls. There's coming a time when Jesus is coming to judge. Whenever he comes to rule this world, the Bible says, not as a meek little lamb to be taken and treated however the world would like to treat. But he's coming back as a lion, and he's going to make the laws, and they're going to stick, and people's lives are going to be forfeit. Well, given this, and this is not a one-off prophecy, this is just a gathering together, or a re-prophesying, or a retweeting. If the Bible was Twitter, it's just a retweeting of a promise that's already been made in the Bible. I would hope and pray that people would actually give a thought or two as to, well, if Jesus is coming back like that, how should I walk closer to Jesus? Or as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, If all these things are going to pass away in a fervent heat with a great noise, what sort of person should I be? How do I get in touch with God? How do I have God in my life? I think it's probably fairly straightforward. You think of all the things that are mentioned here that put distance between people and God, even Christians in this life. And then cut them all out. Cut out the lying and the thieving. Cut out scheming and planning for people's downfall. Do the right thing. Don't be sitting. Don't be going the wrong way. Go the right way. And you're thinking, well, if I cut those out, life's going to be mighty empty. I'm going to tell you something. If you love the Lord and you belong to Him and you give stuff up for Him, He always has something that's 100 times better waiting for you if you'll trust Him. And first of all, we know, and it says there, your sins and your iniquities have separated you from God. So how do we go about minimizing sin in our lives? Well, first of all, we would need to know what God actually wants of us. So how do we know that? But by having a read in our Bible. The Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes. It'll save you forever. It'll save your life right here and now. Romans chapter 1. Psalm 119 verse 11 tells us to hide this word, this Bible, in your heart so that you don't sin against God. Well, that seems like a pretty good way of working it. I'm not going to be embarrassed because I can sit and learn verses as I read them and I don't have to do it out in public. No, you don't, but those words are going to come out in public. They'll want to. Instead of disobeying God, obeying God. It's really simple. Until you have to do it. That's the rub. Bible says get into church. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Just about every problem the children of Israel had happened when they stopped going to church. When they abandoned the Sabbath. Babylonians, they ended up in bondage to the Babylonians, I think it was for a couple of generations. For decades. So study the Bible. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of God and doesn't need to be ashamed. And I'm paraphrasing a bit. Preach the gospel that you read and study. Did Jesus not say to go and preach the gospel to every creature? Bible says to tithe. Tithe? It does. It says to give a tenth of whatever the Lord passes your way at the start of the week. And it says that many people rob God and not tithe. And God wants to bless. God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out onto you. But He was giving off. Read Malachi 3. The Lord also said, praise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Not just, it doesn't have to be tuneful, but it should be joyful. You should be glad to be saved. And that's mentioned 7 times in the book of Psalms. Bible also says to talk to God. And tell Him about everything. Tell Him about the things that trouble you. Tell Him about the things that annoy you. Tell Him even about the way I present the messages. And maybe they'll change. If they change, then I was wrong. If they stay the same, then you're wrong to be annoyed about them. Bible says, don't be worrying about stuff and mulling stuff over all the time. Tell God about everything. In prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Bible also says you should bless Israel. Because then when you bless Israel, God will bless you. I guarantee you, if you do it enough, you will find your opportunities to sin. They narrow away down. Because a lot of sinful people will not want anything to do with you. But bless Israel. And when it comes to speaking up for the Lord and preaching the gospel, don't worry, God will give you the words. So don't be afraid to speak them. Do the Christian thing. Don't be afraid of what people are going to say to you or people will do to you. Fear the Lord. In a land of immorality, men, you want to find a good wife and the Lord will have one for you. And likewise, the lady's a good man. You can start looking in church. I didn't think I was going to find a wife in church, but I did. The Lord pretty much landed me in her lap or landed her in my lap, but the Lord can do these things. And be ready to obey the Lord. That's just a few of the broad strokes. And there are hundreds of commandments in the Bible. And God will bring them to your attention as you need them. But we need to be ready to obey the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm planning on being in heaven forever. And I plan to get there in good terms with God. I want God to be my friend, and I want to be on friendly terms with him. You know what the Lord said? And he said to his disciples in John 15, "You're my friends if you do whatever I ask you to do." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." I want to be friends with God, and I would hope you would too. Like, if you turned up at my door and said, "Mark, I need somewhere to stay for a while." Grand, I know you. I know you, John. I know you, Ling. I know you, Norman. I think I know you as well. But if some complete and utter stranger said, "Well, I need a bit of help," I said, "I don't know you. But I'm saved." "Well, I remember you getting saved about 20 years ago, but I never heard a peep about you since. I don't know a thing about you. You certainly were never my friend." That's the way I want to be with God, and that's the way I would like for all of God's children to be with him on good terms. Because I know that each one of us and everyone that has their head screwed on, they want their lives to turn out right. And there's only one place in the Bible where God makes the promise and he gives the recipe to make your life turn out right. And that's when you get saved and do what God asks you to do. We know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. I want to tell you something, friends. It's easier on the mind and the body and the soul to do things God's way, because that's what we were originally made to do. To fellowship with God in the evening in the Garden of Eden. And when we do these things, you'll get to see God more clearly. You'll not have to go, "Oh, I remember hearing about the pastor speaking about the time God did such and such in his life and answered that prayer in his life, and it was great." Instead of talking about the things that God did for me in my life, you can talk about the things that God would do for you in your life. And then you can answer why, or ask why, or know the answer to why. You know the answer why your prayers were answered, the answer to why your prayers were or were not answered, because of your walk with the Lord. The Lord is not hearing your prayers and things aren't changing. Maybe you're not close enough to him. Maybe there's things that you need sorted out. Have you ever wondered why the big four churches are literally, they're like litigation devices. They're certainly not Christian devices anymore. Why there's never any godly behavior from them, even this church here. When we purchased it from the Presbyterian Church, it was made clear to us that we would get it at a very good price if we joined the Charity Commission. But we didn't. We got it at four times the going rate for a fallow fee. Goodness. Instead of saying, "Look, cover the price of the paperwork and we'll give it to you because you've maintained it and looked after it for so long," that would have been a charitable thing to do. Things will change for you when you get closer to God. Should I say, things will get better for you, Christian, when you get closer to God. And even you lost soul, when you draw close to God, when you call out his name, when you ask him to help you, things will get better for you. You'd save your soul, if you let him, if you repent of your sins and leave room in your heart for the Holy Spirit. And then he'd save your life, if you let him. You'd have to wonder the answer why things... The reason why things are going so bad in the world is because people are far away from God. That's just the long and short of it. People say, oh, the Bible is an old book. Yeah, but it's an old book that gives everybody a fair shake. We don't like the Bible. Well, that's evident enough in the way you live your life and the way the world's going and the way people are treated. I do like the Bible. Because everybody gets a fair shake, even those that are traditionally not well looked upon. Because God loves each and every one of us and wants the very best for each and every one of us. But he needs our cooperation to do that. To cooperate with him. In the words of Matthew chapter 11, the Lord said, the tail end of that chapter, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Stopping there, thank you very much for your good time and attention. We're going to go to our last song of the evening. If you'd like to take your black hymn books and turn to, and have one in mind, unless somebody has one that they'd like for us all to sing that hasn't had a shot, go for it.
129.
129 in the big book. 129 in the big book, which is Rock of Ages. Amen. Let's stand and sing 129, Rock of Ages. Good old hymn. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day. You know all of our needs, Lord, and each and every one of them, and I pray you, please, that you would help us. Lord, whether you give us the strength to deal with temptation or hardship, or whether you deal with it just outright, Lord, or whether it's a thing that we can do for ourselves, or whether you need to do it, Lord, I pray that you would answer our prayers. And Lord, sometimes just unplug our ears. Yes, that's something that we can do. But Lord, we just thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son most of all, for preserving your word, for the indwell of the Holy Spirit. For our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they might be, pray you don't be done with us, Lord. Watch over and keep us all. And inspire us, Lord, and strengthen us. Give us portions of this. We love you and thank you. We leave all this at your feet and ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. We're dismissed.